Good morning. It's the 27th of November. Today we're going to continue with the exhortation from Brother Harry Tennant on Esther. We finished yesterday with the words, "But this occasion was to draw God's people to him," and Esther was both the example and means to accomplish this task. The virgins throughout the empire came under scrutiny, and those who were pleasing to the eye, irrespective of class and, perhaps, character, were taken to Susa, where the eunuchs appointed to the task groomed and developed the virgins under their care. Esther was the cousin, perhaps niece, of Mordecai. She was brought up by him and was obedient as though she were his daughter. Her name means star, or, by extension, Venus. His name means a little man, or perhaps dedicated to Mars. He appears to have had a post in the outer court of the palace at Susa. Providentially, all of this was because of God's purpose. We need to remember that the angels are at work today and always, and may not know beforehand what they are accomplishing for God. The king's desire for a queen led to Esther, a beautiful young woman, being selected for the harem. The king did not know that he was a tool in God's hand. Esther found favour and did not reveal her nationality at any time prior to her selection as queen. If we ask why, we are told that it was at the command of Mordecai. What purpose did he have in mind? Simply to have Esther as queen? He was a godly man and must have been seeking to do the will of God. Just when Haman came into his purview, we are not told. This man was an Amalekite, probably a descendant of Agag of Samuel's time, part of the perpetual enemy of the Lord God. Mordecai, a godly man, did not show reverence for Haman as he, increasing in favour with the king, looked for everyone to bow down to him. There must have been something which made it impossible for Mordecai's conscience to do this, even though he was risking his life. Haman could have dealt with Mordecai at any time, but his vanity would not allow him to stoop to deal with one offender. Mordecai had not hidden the fact that he was a Jew. That was enough to cause Haman's wicked mind to get to work. He already knew that the Jews were everywhere in the kingdom and had their own religious laws. The Jews were different, and Mordecai was an archetypical victim of anti-Semitism. Despite his observations and detective work, Haman had not thought it necessary to seek to learn who Esther the queen really was, nor had the messengers who sought her out in the beginning. They do not seem to have noted the kind of home they were taking her from. Like Hitler in the Second World War, Haman's plan was also his death warrant. The word was still true, "He that curseth thee, I will curse." God's word never fails. Like all chastisement for discerning men, his wicked plan was also the means of drawing the Jews closer together and doubtless to their God, though he is not named specifically in the book. It could be that the reason for this suppression of his name from the book was to tell us that God is at work nevertheless. In our own day, we too live in a time when there are no prophets and no open vision. But it is clear that God is at work. The plot was hatched and decided in the month Nisan, which is the month Abib, the month of Passover. For every Jew, this date would be burned into their hearts. It was the time when the nation came truly into being. The edict was published, and like all the laws of the Medes and Persians, became irrevocable. And there we must leave it. Thank you for listening.